This morning, Hugh is gone, and we're going to be doing more on the evangelism training. We got a lot of good feedback on it. Mostly what we're going to do this morning is more, Tim is going to play the agnostic. He's going to have statements. You guys try to come up with a good response as if he were a real agnostic. And one of the things I want to ask you guys to do as you're doing, you're responding, is don't think in terms of just having a factual response to the question, to the statement. Treat Tim as if he truly was an agnostic and he was really saying these things. How would you treat him as a human being? This is a good, safe environment to play the role. He's playing the role, you're playing the role of trying to convince him otherwise. Go for it. Can't make mistakes. Nothing's going to be wrong. We all have a lot to learn from. Before we do get into that, though, I'm going to bring Mark up. He has a survey that we've put together that we really would like you guys to look at and take seriously. So say hi to Mark.
Hi, Mark.
Hi, Mark.
You know, I love it that you start clapping and I haven't done anything yet. That's the best part of it. It is encouragement. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Because of who
I am. Thank you very much. I think the same of you. So there should be on most of the chairs here a survey that looks something like this. And the survey has 10 statements. Each of those statements is different from the others, but some of them are more nuanced in their separation. And the purpose of the survey is to give, well, we're going to give you the tabulation when we're done. So next week we'll probably show it to you, or later, but you'll get the numbers. But what we want to do, we being Ross Hoagland and I and Tim, as a team teaching this, is to understand as we improve the quality of this later on, what is the number one or number two, or maybe a set of three things that people struggle with more than anything. We have our ideas, but they don't matter. You're the ones that matter. So if you would look this over, and then before you leave class today, put it up on the piano face down, and then we'll tabulate them. It would be very, very helpful. We also want to give this information, as small a group as this might be, to Reasons to Believe, because they need the data too. They need to know who it is that they're going after, and they have some very sophisticated tools for doing that already, but every little bit helps. The next thing I wanted to talk about and as a reason for this is that Reasons to Believe now is spending much more emphasis on evangelism. As a matter of fact, those of us who are on the volunteer apologist team have received an email from Reasons to Believe, and they said that they've changed the mission statement for the apologists. So those of us who are certified apologists, now, it used to be that the apologists were designed to help people overcome barriers to faith. In other words, it was to provide reasons to believe. And now the emphasis is to evangelize, to bring people closer to Christ or to bring people to Christ, and then to provide reasons to believe. So you can do them both at the same time. But what's interesting is RTB's explicit change in emphasis from merely providing scientific evidence to becoming an evangelistic organization. It's always been there because Hugh Ross's heart has always been the heart of an evangelist. That's how he started this. And so what we want to do is continue that. This helps. What are your questions? With that, we turn the control of the television set back to you.
Thank you, Mark.
This survey is really important to us, and so we ask you to take a few moments and look through the statements. What we're asking you to do is pick the one statement out of the 10 that most closely matches where you personally are. We ask you to be really honest. Okay? It might be hard to put a check mark next to the one that really matches. Don't check the one that you wish you were. Check the one that you really are. That would be very, very helpful to us, to be really straight. And it's good for yourself to know where you're at. We realized that, you know, this is maybe the fifth or sixth week now that we've been doing this evangelism training, and we realized we need to be teaching based on what the class needs, not what we think the class needs or what we think we need. And so maybe this is the cart before the horse, but this gives us the data, the information that we need to be able to go further with this kind of training.
Ross?
Yes, Steve.
I say one of the problems people have is unbelief.
Yes, that's right. But we're talking right now about people who are believers, who are struggling with how to share their faith. So you guys saw this before. I'm using the same quotes because I just think they're sensational quotes. This is where we're going to open with. Jesus says, "Follow me and I will make you become fishers of men." This is not a calling that some people have. This is not like a spiritual gift that maybe is there for you and maybe isn't. Sharing our faith is something we are all called to do. And the reason it's such a powerful command is because it is the ultimate form of loving someone else, isn't it? Jesus' greatest command was to love. Love God, love other people. If the gospel message is really true, that Jesus is the way to eternal life, life abundant here on earth and life in the hereafter, that's like the most remarkable fact in the history of the universe. Why would we not, out of love, want to share that? Doug?
Wouldn't it be really discouraging if everybody answered number one?
Yeah. Well, I don't think there's a discouraging here. I think it's really, that's why I say, let's just be honest and not emotional about it.
If you look at people's behavior, sometimes in other groups, not this group, but they actually are like that.
Sure, sure, absolutely.
They don't see the need, they let someone else do it.
Yeah, and if that's where the mindset is, we just want to know that. Doesn't make anybody a worse or better person. It's just where it is.
But then we'll know where we stand and we'll work on trying to get them to see the need, right?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So wherever you are, just put, the whole survey is one check mark. That's it, okay? Just one check mark, and if you want to write a comment at the bottom to clarify anything you want to say about it, that's fine too. Any feedback you have would be helpful. So, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. Jesus says that. Todd Hunter, in his book, who's an author, he says, we catch fish on their terms, not ours. There's a whole lot in that statement. It's a wonderful analogy that Jesus used. Sometimes you go out to catch fish, you don't get anything. Sometimes you get an abundance. If bringing people to faith in Christ is like fishing, then one of the features of fishing is that you got to go where the fish are and think like a fish, right, to catch them.
Think like a fish.
So in this culture, what that means is listen to people. Where are they at? What are they thinking? What are their attitudes about God? What are their hurts and their pains? What do they need help with? Get to know them as a human being before you try to share your faith, because you may be saying something that, you may be answering a question that they're not asking. Glenn Ellen?
You weren't in the service today, were you?
Yes.
Oh, you were? Okay.
Yes.
Well, Bob Cavolo said something very important, which is that if people don't want God, then chances are they will view what you are saying, if you do know God, as, well, I won't call, he didn't use the enemy, but I think it's that strong, that they simply are viewing you as part of the problem, and in fact, you are doing evil to believe and tell them.
Yes.
So that was something that helped me to understand how sensitive it is.
It and like a lot of things, we can take things that the Bible says. If we only rely on that one statement, we're not saying everything that needs to be said. And what you're saying is true. There is a side to the gospel that is offensive. Jesus is the only way to God. That is a line that you draw, and for many people, that is an offensive statement. And it's understandable that it's offensive. But there's another side also which is equally true at the same time. And that is that verse in John, where I have in here, but I can't remember it, where he says that by our love for each other, meaning fellow believers, people will be attracted, they will find the faith beautiful, they will be attracted to the faith. That's what we're trying to do here too, is we make statements about the faith, about what's true, but we're called to love each other. If we're not loving each other, what are people going to see when we're just doing what we do? Jesus says our love for each other is what people will see and say, I want that. Okay? All right, so any questions on that before we get to our resident agnostic?
Just a little comment.
Yes.
I just came from a church that I visited today, and I knew nobody there. I just drove by, and I saw the cars at the YMCA. And so I went in there. I didn't know anybody, although I'm a Christian, okay? I felt like kind of like an outsider. And this lady comes up to me and immediately starts hugging me. And actually, I thought that was a good thing.
Oh.
You know, I mean, she hugged me appropriately, of course, but I mean, you know, it made a good impression on me.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'm tainted because I'm a believer that I like that, but, you know, I just thought I'd share that.
I think most people like a hug. Yeah. Yeah, I like that. Anybody else want to say anything at all?
You know what? She asked me if she could hug me first.
Oh, good.
I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
You don't just want to just jump in there.
wrestle them to the ground. That's right.
I'm going to jail for that, right?
That's right, yes. In today's climate, you can go to jail for that. Okay. So, without any further me blabbing, let's bring up Tim, and he's going to try to ask you some questions. Let's put our hands together.
Hug him first.
Why don't you ask him?
Yeah.
He's pretty cute. I don't know.
Welcome, Tim.
I've been thinking a lot lately, and I can't understand why you Christians say Jesus is the only way to God, or the only way to being saved. That you draw this like hard line that you gotta follow this Jesus guy. And I mean, he came in pretty late in the scene, you know, in the geologic time scale, right? There were a lot of people living before Jesus. And it really irks me when I see Christians saying like they've got all of the truth. They've got the monopoly on truth. And I just wanted to hear what you guys would say to that. Don't be shy.
Crickets. Yeah, back there.
Actually, that's what the Bible teaches. And we believe, Christians, we believe the Bible is the Word of God. So that's what we say, that we have the truth.
Okay, so you're saying you have the truth because the Bible says so.
Yes. The Bible is a supernatural book. It's not just a book. Actually, it's a set of books.
No, I've heard that before. No, I've heard the whole, like, you know, the Bible's written by God or whatever. He breathed on it or sneezed on it or something. But, like, to me, that does nothing. Well, you know, that you say the truth because you have the truth because you have the Bible. It's like, I could say I have the truth because I have the dictionary. I don't, like, you know, I can name any source of writing or knowledge.
The Bible is a supernatural book. It's not a man-made book. You can find things that are almost impossible. find a book that tells you exactly that we went to the moon six times in 1842, 7 years ago, 7 years ago. Many like that, those prophecies, how can that be? And there's many, many, well, it'd be expensive. You should read the Bible and you will know that it's not just the Bible in a nutshell. Old Testament, Christ is coming. New Testament, he's here. That's it.
Man, but I don't care about how, like, where the Bible came from, how true it is, if it's supernatural or not. I mean, like, I'm trying to ask why Christians are drawing such a hard line, are acting like they know everything, which...
Because the Bible, Christ is here now, and he becomes part of your life. He's inside of you, controls you, helps you, and everything.
I don't understand that. I'm sorry. That doesn't make any sense. Doesn't and anybody else? Yeah, over here.
Okay, so I'd be interested in knowing, Kim, what other religions you've looked at, and how do you feel the comparison? Because most other religions have their own explicit beliefs too. So which ones have you looked at, and what have your response been to those?
I've looked at a little bit of Judaism. Buddhism, some of the New Age stuff. I've jumped around a bit. Honestly, I'm not really... I'm hesitant to jump on any of those. I'm kind of honestly leading now towards more deism or atheism. Just because I see that not drawing a hard line and telling me how to live my life. And also not forcing... Those two don't force my beliefs on other people. Like, if I'm an atheist and I don't believe in God, I'm not going to go around and force all of you to not believe in God. You totally have the free will to do whatever you guys want. But you don't have the right to force me into a choice. And I just feel I get that so much from Christians. Yeah, right here.
I think one thing that you can't ignore is the fact that of all the many religions, Jesus is the only religious leader that was raised from the dead, and the resurrection is a historical fact. And because of his resurrection, it caused the whole history was changed, Western civilization.
Okay. So you're saying there's a lot of evidence for the resurrection of the Jesus dude.
There were hundreds of people that saw that he was raised from the dead. After his resurrection, there were many people that saw him, and historians don't deny that.
I know a lot of historians that do, and I think if that were like historically proven, you'd have way more people believing. And I think maybe, yeah, you can draw up evidence, like there is eyewitnesses, but that's like... I don't even know if there's any extra biblical sources. I know, like, you know, the writers of the Gospels say that there is, you know, eyewitnesses, but that's them coming up with evidence for their own case, you know what I mean? And, but, yeah. Yeah, right here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can get your other question answered. You asked why Jesus came at the time period that he came. That's a very good question. And you were saying, why didn't he come earlier?
I wasn't really asking that, but I want to hear that.
I
want to yeah.
answer that question. It was a good question.
Go ahead.
So the answer to that question, obviously, is Jesus came at exactly the right moment in time that he needed to. If he came in here earlier, which was your assertion, the Roman roads hadn't been built, and so his message would not have gotten out to the known world at that time. And so Jesus came at the right time, obviously, where the Roman roads had been built. The Romans then had policed, if you will, all those roads. Traveled the seas, traveled the oceans, and one of the evidences that Jesus did rise from the dead is that his message and Christians spread rapidly throughout the whole Roman Empire because those witnesses and people that knew those witnesses, knew they were credible, were able to put that message out. There's no other faith where you have a message that was given out and spread out so rapidly. The Roman Empire that was persecuting Christians became a Christian nation. So to speak, obviously, the empire did that. because again of those eyewitnesses going out, and then to the point of the people that lived before Jesus, it's not that they didn't have a witness to Jesus, because the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit was there. As a matter of fact, we have writings in the Bible that talk about the faith of those early people that God revealed himself to. And so that part, obviously, of saying that Jesus, the people before Jesus didn't get a chance to know him, they actually did get to know God through the Holy Spirit.
Hmm. Okay. I've never heard that.
The other point was is there anything outside of the Bible? And you need to read the writings of Jewish historians and Roman guards and Roman historians that also speak of the resurrection.
Okay.
Because there is writings outside of the Bible.
Okay. I'll check that out. But honestly, I'm not like that interested in the historical evidence, because I'm honestly more interested in the now evidence of like why so many Christians like aren't showing that this is true, if this really is true. You know what I mean? Like, it's like I meet so many Christians who are just total pricks about this. What do I expect a Christian to look like? Following, I mean, walking the walk, not talking the talk. Like, all I hear is love your neighbor as yourself, but I never see that. What does that look like? Not telling me I'm gonna go burn in hell because I'm not a believer. Shunning me, telling me my lack of faith doesn't give me a place in their community. Generally stuff like that. It's like, that's not, I don't know about your book, but in my book, that's not loving someone else.
What if those arguments were true? I'm not saying they aren't, saying what if they were true?
What if they were true? That I am going to burn in hell because I'm not a believer?
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't know if that's true right now. If that were true, and I was told that right now, well, I don't know. God, tell me that right now. Like, show me, but no, he hasn't yet, and so I can't go anywhere with that. Like, that's not been proven to me that I'm going to burn in hell. Obviously, if that was proven to me, I probably wouldn't want to go to hell unless it was, I don't know, a nice place. My friends were there.
Because the idea that he's the only way isn't an original Christian. It's an original.
Say that again?
So the idea of judgment is not an original Christian. You're not only following what your leader said, following what he said. So your issue is with him as a historic Christian.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, back there.
Well, it sounds like you've had, you know, some bad experiences. You know, it sounds like your interaction with Christians has been negative, or people that call themselves Christians. You've been hurt, or you've been, you know, preached at. Do you know any people, do you have a relationship, or do you have any family or people who are Christian who aren't that way to you? I mean, do you have any Christian friends, or is this more people you've interacted with on a short-term basis? How would you describe that?
Yeah. It's interesting you asked that. Now, I was raised not... I mean, my parents aren't believers. They're not Christians. They're not really religious at all. They're atheists. But my uncle is. My uncle's he's kind of a hardcore Bible-thumping kind of Christian, you know? Yeah. And I haven't had the most pleasant experiences with him.
Okay. Do you think it's possible that you intersected with... I mean, it sounds like you're kind of judging Christians and saying there's something wrong with them where everyone else has got it right and they have it wrong as far as this idea that they're preaching at me, they're telling me these things. Are you saying then that the Christian community is wrong, that they've got it wrong, and that, you know, they're judgmental, they're doing something wrong, everyone else is kind of okay, but the Christians, are you kind of signaling them out as the ones who have it wrong?
No, in fact, I think it's the opposite. I think Christians are the one who's saying everybody else is wrong, we're the right ones. And that there's no room for any other belief, any other truth that might be out there. Because I looked at, honestly, a lot of friends I made who were Buddhist treated me a whole lot better than the Christians in my life. And I think if I'm gonna take that at face value and say there's got to be a reflection of some sort of truth there, because I do believe that there is truth out there, and I really hope that it's goodness, that it's something It's something good. And if I see that goodness coming from a Buddhist and not a Christian, that makes me think, hey, there's got to be some truth there. And I just...
You know, it's interesting that you say, you know, that they're the ones who are saying everyone else is wrong. And but, you know, I take, for instance, the atheist position, and to quote, not to quote, but to sort of paraphrase one of the Christian authors we all respect. These are people who believe that most people throughout history have always been wrong about God, that there is a God, about the thing that matter most. So, I mean, whereas Christians don't believe that, Christians don't think that everyone throughout all history, most of them, were always wrong about the thing that mattered most.
Really?
Namely, was there a God or not? We actually believe that, you know, that there's a lot of beliefs out there. One, we believe that the Christianity is true, but there's others that have at least partial truths or things that you know, for instance, they believe in God. There's a lot of religions that believe there is a God. Whereas atheism doesn't believe there's a God. So it seems to me that the Christian point of view is more open and free and liberal than the atheist point of view. And that we don't insist that everyone is wrong and has always been wrong about the thing that mattered most, namely, is there a God? But we believe that not everyone has the full truth, that they're missing something. Only the Christian belief that's put forth from the Bible is the whole truth. Correct.
That's interesting.
Some people are, you know, there's a lot of different views. A lot of people believe in God.
Sure.
In God, we think that's right, but we're not saying they're wrong like the atheist position. It seems to me like the atheist position is the one that's telling everybody they're all wrong and we're the only ones that are right.
What's your name, by the way?
What's that?
What's your name, by the way?
Steve.
Steve. Does anybody else agree with Steve? Is he, because I've, like, this is kind of the first time I'm hearing, like, a Christian say, oh, well, there's other truth out there, and not everybody has the whole truth. Do you guys agree with Steve? Yes?
Yes.
That's interesting. Okay. All right, yeah, over here.
Hi, my name's Doug, and I don't know anyone named Steve, but thanks for stopping by at my booth. Would you like a water? Would you like Gatorade? That's even better. We're giving out Gatorade today. Thanks for stopping by. You know how many people just ignore me when I'm talking? I'm not even raising my voice or anything. You know, I'm just sharing a little bit of the gospel. Some people get mad at my sign that says "Pray for America." I don't understand why they're so mad at us for saying "Pray for America." You know, I mean, I think some Christians are very hard line, but I wouldn't say all of us are hard lines, so if you think that, I mean, at least you're stopping and telling me what your issues are. So is that really your main issue? What's your main issue with Christianity? Is it? I'm listening to you, okay? I'm listening to you. I'm hearing what you're saying, like we think we're the only way. Well, are we going around just, like, trying to shove it down your throat? I don't think offering you a water is a bad thing. You could always say no, you could always keep walking, etc. So what have you really thought about what it is that's making you upset, or are you upset? Are you upset with me right now?
No, I'm not upset with you.
Okay,
I
mean,
so
what's
far,
your name, by the way?
I hope I don't. What's my name? I'm Tim. I'm Tim.
Nice
yeah.
To meet
you. No, I'm not upset with you right now. I hope you don't give me a reason to be upset with you. But
I'm trying not to. You know, I'm out here because I love you, and maybe you think that's weird, but I don't think I'm coming from a weird.
No, I think that's
right?
Cool, man. I think
you
the
know,
world needs
love
more love.
Jesus loves you, and historical figure. Here's a list of secular sources you can look up later if you want. I heard you say that you don't really want to go through the work of looking things up. I've done the work for you, some of it anyway, so maybe that will make you more hungry for exploring things, because, you know, this is really one of the central issues of life. Why are we here, right? That's kind of the implied question behind all this religion thing. And maybe there's no reason why we're here, but I think, you know, you're young. You should want to explore these things, you know. There's a lot of distractions. Hey, look at that girl. Hey, I'm talking to you. Hello. You know, it's okay.
Well, you...
Am I coming across as judgmental? I hope not.
Honestly, no. Like, you didn't, like, tell me anything. You didn't put any assumptions on me. So thanks for that.
Okay.
But you asked me...
Free literature here.
No, thanks. Yeah, I might get to that. Also, I have a lot of studying to do after this, so...
Okay, well, here's my phone number.
Yeah, thank you. We can talk
email
after class.
Order.
Yeah. Back there.
I'd like to address your issue that you have with the idea of exclusivity by asking you a question.
Please go.
Do you believe that anything that we eat, anything we put in our mouth, is equally healthy? Can I live on beer and Twinkies for breakfast?
What do you mean equally healthy? What do you mean? Sure. Yeah, I'd be pretty stupid if I said no to that. Okay, where are you going?
So if I believe that I can drink beer and eat Twinkies for breakfast and I'm going to be okay, my belief in that doesn't change whether that's actually going to affect me well or not. Would you agree with that?
Sure. Yeah, I can't believe myself into making Twinkies slim me down. Yeah.
Okay. So
you're saying there's, you know, belief doesn't have a lot of power?
No, I'm saying, as a Christian, I don't understand why it's offensive for us to say that we have a factual statement about who God is and that Jesus Christ is the way to get to God. Isn't that, because you're exclusive in your belief about food, we all are in this culture, we all know that some things are healthier than others. We're talking about the most important question probably that people can ask is there a God? Does he care about what I do? Does he want to have a relationship with me? We're saying as Christians, yeah, I think we've got kind of a handle on that.
Okay.
Well, why is that offensive?
Can I shoot that metaphor back at you?
Sure.
It's like saying quinoa is all you need to survive and that there will never be any other food ever discovered that will be better for you than quinoa. All you need is quinoa. Every day, all three meals, only quinoa. Maybe like a little bit of salt to spice it up. But that's it. You know, it's like, really? You're not going to say, oh, there's, what about like acai berries or all this other, you know, good for you stuff lying out there. Like there's a whole huge world of food out there. And I think there's a whole huge world of truth and belief out there. And if you say you only will eat quinoa for the rest of your life, you're missing out. You could be missing out on something healthier. You could be missing out on something tastier.
Okay. Let me shoot it back at you again, then.
Sure.
I would say, as a believer, as a person of faith, I believe absolutely that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and through him, I find salvation. There's really only about three or four or five core doctrines in the faith that make you a Christian or not a Christian. And I find that there is such a gigantic world of interesting, amazing things to explore in theology. Just given those two or three or four or five facts, it opens up a giant world to all those other foods. For me, it's the least restrictive way to think rather than the most restrictive.
That's interesting. So as long as you're eating quinoa as your base, you know, your staple, then you can, you know, have a Twinkie now and then? Is that what you're saying?
Christ is my quinoa.
Jesus. We should put that on a shirt and sell it. You'd probably make some money. Okay. All right. Okay. Doug, was it Doug?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Right? You're asking me what my core hesitation is.
Your issue, yeah.
About Christianity. There's not, I don't have one single core. And I'm like, I started out on this because, I don't know, I just chose it. But I have a ton of questions. And I have a ton of things I want to get to. But I also want to hear all you guys.
Well, I commend you that you're interested. That's
well, I don't know. You guys seem like an interesting group, and I'm a little different, but I don't know. I'm trying to probe you to see if you're like all the other Christians I've met.
Would you like a Twinkie?
No, I got my quinoa. Thank you very much. I don't know. Does anybody else have anything to say so on the stuff so far before I moved on to another question? Yeah, back here.
Yeah, I've come to believe that I was a believer, I'm not a Can you speak up a little bit?
Whenever you're born, you're handed a religion from your family, okay? And you usually keep it or not. When you grow up, maybe you'll wander off into another, like become a Jehovah's Witness or something. But to me, that's what most people, Americans are mostly, 90% believers. It's an amazing number. If you look at Europe, they're becoming secular at a high rate. And of course, Dave over here put out three or four pages of the different religions. Remember that day? About 2 or 3 years ago? And there he lists all the major religions, and there's got to be thousands of them. Okay? Now, which one are you going to pick that's right? That's for a conundrum for the human race. If you look at the start of civilization 10,000 years ago, there have always been gods that have resurrected, that lived and resurrected, and then fallen back into the dustbin of history. Never hear from them again.
Okay.
Right now, when Jesus came, there was false messiahs already in the Jewish faith.
Okay.
Because he's a Jew, right? And he attended the synagogues, and he was circumcised, the whole thing. He was a Jew. So he's when he started preaching, I don't think his intention was to make a Christian faith for the world. And what to me is the whole thing when he said, there's a lot of things he said. Who was writing them down? I don't, when you read the Gospels and everything, they never tell you who's writing them down as he said these things. Follows him around. But he did say, I think, that he said, so there are some of you here who will not die before I return. You see? So that didn't happen. That's 2,500 years ago. So that didn't happen. So that to me is the biggest thing that religion's black is evidence. If he came down tomorrow or today and he stood right there next to you and said, yeah, I'm here, we don't believe.
I'm confused. Are you agreeing with me?
Yes, you are.
So you're saying that there's not a lot of evidence?
No, there is a lot of evidence.
Yes, Brother Tim, he's an atheist. He told me earlier tonight.
Allison, since you use my name, I get to reply. Thank you. Thank you for coming to my world religion class. I'm glad you came. I'm glad you remember that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you missed the point of the class. The point of the class of prayer for religion was to talk about that Christianity is the religion and the person that's made the most difference in this world. So coming up, is New Year's. And it's amazing how many people don't realize that New Year's is actually a Christian holiday where we celebrate, Jesus' coming to earth, because Jesus is the only person in the world that changed the entire world. The whole world counts, its years by his birthday. And why? Because Jesus is the only person that completely changed world history. Slavery has ended here in America and around the world in a lot of places because Jesus, said that people are equal and ought to be free. But Jesus said, whether you're Greek, whether you're a Jew, slave, free, man, woman, we're all equal under Christ. So equality came from Jesus. One of the values that secularism holds dear came from Jesus. Jesus changed the history of the world. Compassion of hospitals, and caring for the poor. That came from Jesus. It didn't come from Buddhists, what you're talking about. The Buddhists and the Hindus, obviously, they believe in a caste system where the lowlife, obviously, the world, you don't have to take care of them. My personal opinion, obviously, after being around Buddhism and Hinduism, it's one of the worst religions in the world. It teaches caste system.
I mean, that's why I'm not a Buddhist or Hindu.
It says you don't help those that are downtrodden because they've done something wrong. Where Jesus came and taught compassion and taught love, and so all of the orphanages and missions and helping the poor people, helping people after disasters, that's all comes from the compassion of Jesus' heart. So if you compare the religions, I would be happy to put Christianity against any other religion anytime because we teach compassion, love, mercy, and forgiveness because that's what the human race needs, and that's what Jesus taught, and that's what his disciples went around the world teaching.
Yes, he's right.
Let me say something. I want to say something. When you laid up that little pamphlet of all the religions, you know, I always thought to myself, you know, Dave's a swan guy, even though you were a Mormon, that's one, right?
Yep.
But I said, when he was writing, you know, researching all of these religions, wasn't he thinking, you know, why is Christianity just
a man-made religion? The point is, Jim.
No, it's fine. I can be the audience and watch you guys squabble amongst yourselves. No, thanks. Yeah, it's.
So, Tim, I put that same challenge to you then. Definitely put it to the Bible says put it to the test. We don't believe the language. The Bible says test all things, hold fast that what is that was true. And so the things that I tell to you, the things that other people think, put it to the test. Obviously, see who's done the most good in the world. See what religion has ended slavery. See what religion has gone for passion and missions to help people that are downtrodden, to give people freedom, to give equality to women. I put all of that before you because I know Christianity will come forth. Are we perfect? Absolutely not. You know, have you maybe hurt by Christians? Yes. Have I been hurt by Christians? Yes. That's because people are not perfect. But so we have to look at the ideals. What are we striving for? And who put those forward? And that's Jesus. The reason we change, we count our years from his birth, is because he has changed world history. Just one person who lived, died, rose from the grave, you know, and changed people's lives has changed the entire world, no matter where it is. There's more Christians in China right now than there are here in America. You know, so much for Buddhism.
Okay. Yeah. Can I? Yeah. Right here.
Yeah. Tim, I think everybody is religious. Everybody worships something.
Okay.
And some of the things that people worship may not look religious, but they are. And people get really passionate about these things. We live in a very orderly society. For the most part, there's law and order. But societies go through changes, and there are times when there isn't that much law and order. Might look to the Dark Ages, or we might look to other continents at different times, okay?
Okay.
But you're experiencing life from your own point of view, and you've established your priorities. Now, you don't have to be honest with me, but think for yourself, what are the things that you are passionate about? What are the things that you will fight for? What are the things you'll lose sleep over? Those might be your religion.
Okay.
So, So I think you are living a religion, and but when individuals live their religion, they often are not in common with other people. Perhaps they aren't, but a lot of times they're not. But society overall will be disorderly if every man is after his own thing, pursuing his own thing. In fact, a long time ago, there was a book written, John Locke's Second Treatise on Civil Government. It talks about how human society can be in complete disorder as each man pursues and defends his own interests without regard to others.
What about the women? I'm kidding. You just said the men. So where are you going with that?
Well, you're almost. I think you're thinking that you're resisting organized religion or Christianity as an organized religion.
Yeah.
But basically, everyone is believing in a religion. So you are in a religion of some sort. That's where I'm going.
Quinoa is my religion. Yeah, possibly a deist. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. My friend Ross and Mark, they introduced me as an agnostic. I guess I'd say that because I'm not arrogant enough to believe I know all the truth right now. Far from it. I'm young. I'm still learning. But, yeah, there's no way I'm going to say I know the truth right now at 23 years old. So, yeah, right here.
Okay, I think quinoa, or Jesus is the quinoa, okay?
Sure.
He says, I'm the door. And basically when you walk through faith, that's a real important thing that you have to come through however you get there. But when you walk through the door, on the other side is, and it's all the kinds of food in the world, including occasional Twinkie. But it's really, really important that when Christians are dogmatic, and we are, it's like we're saying we know where the door is. We're not saying that we're the door, or we're even a very good door. We may be a crummy, you know, hard-line Christian. But we do know where to find the door, and it's Jesus. He's the quinoa. And then everything else comes from walking through that door of faith and exploring. It's like seeing the Milky Way for the first time. There's a lot out there.
Sure.
And you never see it until you see it through the eyes of faith. So it's just something to encourage you to do, because we've all been there of not believing, and a lot of times because we're hurt or we know some crummy Christians, or maybe we just have some learning to do. So you're right there. I'm really glad you're asking the questions, because we all have.
Okay. So you mentioned Jesus as the only door to what?
Right.
Door to what?
The door of faith into the life of God.
The life of God. What does that mean?
You won't know until you walk through it.
So you don't know? Do you guys know what's behind this door?
Oh, yeah,
you guys are just going to hope? Okay, so what's behind this door? Tell me.
Oh, it's relationship with God.
What does that mean?
It means that you walk and talk with him.
But isn't that what you guys do now? Don't you, like, pray? Isn't that talking to God?
But you don't do that, right?
I've tried praying before, yeah. Sometimes I do when it's, like, stuff is really hard, but... Do I get an answer? No, but...
Did you get anything or hear anything?
No, I didn't hear any angels or trumpets or anything.
All the time.
But
it's just that you're not tuned into it.
What does that mean? So when you walk through this door, do you get tuned into it or something?
Yes. That's the weird thing.
Have you guys walked through this door now? This metaphorical door now?
Yep.
You have?
That's
okay.
Jesus is.
Right here.
Can I bring you back to history?
Yeah, go ahead.
BC and AD. So I'm asking you, what happened that time is split in two?
BC, AD? Well, apparently it's not politically correct to say that anymore. Now it's, it's BCE and CE, before the Common Era and then the Common Era. But yeah, of course, that was Jesus's birth. And I know how influential that was. But just because something made a huge mark in history doesn't mean it's credible, right? Like, talking about huge marks made in history, why would this God, you guys believe God is good, right? There's no doubt about that. I'm looking around. There's like hesitant nods. God is good, right? That's what Christians believe.
What do you think?
I don't really know at this point. That's why I'm here. I'm an agnostic. But why would a good God let something as terrible happen as the Holocaust, for instance? It's like I've looked into Judaism too, and I've found out that a lot of Jews are actually atheists. And because of this point, and I think I gotta agree with them. It's like, really, out of all the possible universes God could have created, he had one where millions of Jews are brutally massacred. I please help me understand that.
That's Hitler. That's not...
Yeah, well, okay, yeah, but God made this world where that he could have easily, if he is infinitely powerful and all-knowing and all that stuff, he could have easily made a universe where everything else happens, except you just take out the Holocaust. Like...
Free will.
Okay. Does anybody want to give me an answer for that? Yeah, right here.
I wouldn't say I want to give you an answer for that, because that is a tough question.
Okay. So you agree it's a tough... How do you, as a Christian, you're a Christian, right? How do you reconcile that?
I do wrestle with tough issues in life. I mean, for me, that's very recent history, so it's real. I mean, I probably run into some people that have been very influenced by that in their life, so I understand that's huge. There's other issues in my life that are really tough, and it's hard for me to deal with it some days. Absolutely.
Well, honestly, thank you. That's kind of refreshing that you also think that's really hard. That's not the answer I get a lot. Yeah, back there.
Hi, Jim. I see your point about it being difficult, and I see the Christian perspective. One of the things that gets lost sometimes is the notion of how much time we're talking about. So let's look at a couple of things. Can we talk about time for just a couple of minutes?
Sure, tell me about time.
Okay. So we live our lives, you know, 60, 80, 90 years, if we're lucky or unlucky. And so we look at our lives and everything that happens in terms of those years. And so something that happens to 6 million Jews or 60 million Russians in World War II and all that, enormous. It happens quickly in our lives. But we don't ask ourselves, where does this 60 or 90 years fit in eternity? If God exists, as the way the Bible describes him, he occupies eternity. So this is the notion that I would like you to consider, that we can't make sense of horrible things within a 90-year lifespan. You just think, if God's really that great, he can just tune this place up and make it work so that people don't kill each other. I don't know how you do that. I've yet to hear anybody explain how they would do it without being dead, but I presume God's all-powerful and all-knowing, and he could do it if he wanted to. But he didn't. So what is he going to be doing after this is all over with? And that's one of the questions that Jesus answered in a way that nobody else answered. And that after everything is over with, there is a redemption that occurs that in no way can be replaced by any tweaking of the events of our life.
Okay, so you're saying that there's some grand plan in the end that's going to be fulfilled that's amazing, right? Because God's amazing.
It's described as beyond our capacity to think or imagine.
Okay, so incomprehensibly amazing. That's the eternal future you're talking about.
Yes.
And so you're saying that for some reason, the only way to get to that future was to have millions of people massacred in the Holocaust.
No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that despite the fact that there are 6 million people or millions of people who are killed, that is in a way that we cannot imagine.
Okay. Okay. I can see how you can use that to get over that hump. All right. Yeah, right here in the red.
In the red. So you said that you didn't believe that there is truth out there. And I would like to know, number one, why you say that, what your understanding of truth. And number two, what have been your steps that you have taken to really examine it?
How do I know that there is truth out there? Again, that in itself is a truth statement, right? I'd be arrogant to say I'm 100% sure about anything. There's a very, very small percent chance that we're all in a simulation, blah, 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 matrix, all that stuff, you know? But that's a very tiny possibility. I don't believe in that. I think that's dumb that a supercomputer could create a simulation as realistic as this. But if we're looking at ultimate truths out there, there has to be. Because I believe in science, and I believe science gives us hard truths that can be not 100% proven, but that can be relied on. And if we're looking at the natural world around us, there's got to be... It exists, we know that. And I think that's a truth, that I exist. I think that's like one of the only undeniable truths that we have. Is that each of us believes that we exist as a being, right? Can't say it was as much about everyone else out here. You could all be figments of my imagination. Again, I don't actually believe in that. But looking at science, like you asked me, what am I doing to pursue that? Well, I'm getting a degree in biology, and so I'm pursuing biology, and I see that there's truths in that we're discovering all the time. We just discovered a new type of RNA within the last 10 years that allows us to splice some of our genes and put them together in different ways to create different versions of the same protein. I mean, you can get a gene for tropomyosin, which is a muscle fiber. You could cut it up, that one gene, put it into one final product to make skeletal muscle that moves your systems. Or cut it up and put it into another gene that makes smooth muscle, all your arteries and veins. The same gene. It's like we're learning all these new truths all the time. So I definitely think looking at science, there has to be truths out there. There are stuff that's just how the universe works. And so if I take that and I apply it to spiritual things, supernatural things, I think that could also be applied there. But the problem with spiritual, supernatural things is science doesn't really work there a lot. But I do think there's truth out there. I'm trying to find it. I also want people to hear from people I haven't heard from. Yeah. There are many. It'd be hard to, you know, group it as one big truth, but there are.
All you need is one. Okay.
So I see. You mean like a whole like worldview of biology or something?
I mean, if there's any truth that you can say is absolute, then why can't you say that there's only one?
That's
exactly.
Yeah, there's empirical truth. I don't know if you can empirically prove the Bible, and I think a lot of Christians agree with that would kind of take away the point of having faith. But
it's more about truth, though. I mean, you could accept that one thing is being absolute, you can't accept another thing is being absolute.
You're talking about the Jesus being the only way?
Yeah.
Again, that could be true. That could be true. I'm not saying that's not true, because I don't really have evidence to disprove it. I'm just saying I don't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think any of us want to be forced to believe anything. Is that my real issue? What do you mean by my real issue?
You don't want anybody or anything
to tell. No, I mean, my professors tell me what to believe, and I trust them because they have their PhDs and they've done scientific research. I do let some people tell me what to do, but to force me to do that, I can always drop out of school and go do something else. I can always not listen to what they're saying in class, you know, but... I have had people try and force me, though. That's the problem. I have had people force me. People close to me. My uncle. And I... That... Well, 2 years ago, my brother got into an accident. It was a car accident. And he was put in a coma. And he didn't wake up for months. And my uncle believed that I just had to pray. I just had to pray, and then he'd wake up. And my brother died. And my uncle told me that my brother died because of my lack of faith. Because I didn't believe. But he's a Christian, and he claims that. He says all the same stuff that you guys say, that there's only one door, that God is good, all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you know, only God knows when our time is, and it's unfortunate that he said that. And I'm sorry that he's misrepresenting God and Christianity. But, you know, I think that if you'll explore Christianity more on your own, apart from those things, and just see what Christianity is, I think you'll find something deeper.
Okay. Yeah.
Just because someone calls themselves something doesn't mean they are something.
Sure.
Someone could call themselves a Democrat and secretly vote Republican.
Yeah, sure, that could happen.
One of the basic tenets of Christianity is that people are not basically good. In fact, people are so messed up that they will act in their own self-interest pretty much all the time. reason, or self-serving reason they have, continue to call themselves that, but don't ever really turn their heart over to Christ. The mark of someone who's a true believer, the mark of someone who is truly following Christ, is that they have an attitude of humility and love.
So you're saying there's not a lot of Christians out there?
You're right. You're right. And so for all those people who have hurt you and all those people who have misrepresented the faith, I'm sorry. As a Christian, I'll say, I'm sorry. It grieves me as much as it grieves you that there's people out there using the Lord's name in vain, which is really what that is. And to a certain extent, we all do it. There's times I have not well represented Christ, which is the clear reason in my mind that I need him so much. I can't do it. I cannot. I am incapable of being a good person under my own power.
Okay. That's going to take me somewhere, but I want to hear other responses. Who haven't I heard from?
Steve. Yeah, and just to sort of dovetail, I'm sort of concerned how some of us Christians act. I'm sorry for the death that happened and the surroundings of that situation that just misrepresented who I think I am. But I've been sorry, sort of in role playing here a little bit, to get to know you as a neighbor. I'm going to make that assumption. And your biology and your you like to question a lot, and I like to question. And one thing is truth. And you like empirical truth, so do I. And I think that can lead us to areas of discovery. And a lot of people don't like to discover; they just like to feel comfortable.
Sure.
And at my church, Christ Church, I'd like to invite you out there once. We just had a meeting where we invited a film developer, critic, who wrote a book about telling the truth in documentaries, and it intrigued me. And we have a fellow by the name of Bob Cabello who set this up last Sunday night at the Hospitality House. And it was the most interesting conversation to hear that from truth, there's some answers we don't have, and we just need to be empathetic and say, you know, I don't know, but I want to share your grief or whatever. And how do we present the truth well in documents, and how do we document truth through our actions and through acts to make facts? And so as I get to know you a little bit more, maybe I'll know what to share in things in common. And because I enjoy culture, and I can see you do too, and just to go out and discover and hear other people do that. And that's what my church has to offer. And I think it's really a neat deal, and I'd like to invite you to sing.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, anybody else? I haven't heard from you, have I?
Yes, well, the proper basis to believe something is on best evidence. And there has been several, many of them lawyers in the 19th and 20th century that have sought to debunk the biblical writings, especially what we call the New Testament. And they, when they finally began to study the evidence very carefully and thoroughly and evaluated, they found that it was overwhelming, such that many of them stated in a court of law, the verdict would have to affirm that the man that the English speakers call Jesus existed in the first century. He claimed to be from a divine realm, and he did perform supernatural acts that were utterly beyond the capabilities of any other people at the time. And indeed was executed as a criminal, an enemy of the state, was definitely dead, and did definitely was seen alive a few days later by hundreds of witnesses. And the first people that began to believe all that he said, and also much of the material that was recorded in the other writings of the Old Testament, which were up to several hundred years of experiences by other people, did so because of the strength of this evidence, the fact that that Jesus claimed to be divine, to be God, and he proved it by, well, if nothing else, by the fact that he was definitely dead for 3 days and then was definitely alive again, and then was seen to by many witnesses to go up into the sky and said he would come, would return at another time in the future. And the other writings indicate that the universe was created by a self-existent being who transcends space-time and also permeates it. And he did it out of love, and he created human beings with very advanced faculties, perceptions. And but the first ones, the first humans, were persuaded by an adversary to decide for themselves what was right and wrong, and not to necessarily agree with what they were told by the Creator. And in the last, ever since then, for thousands of years, that Creator has been allowing human beings to realize how profoundly inferior that choice is, how utterly incapable we are of having a perfect society that's without flaws, and that the only solution to the situation as it came to be, and has come to be, is to accept a pardon that is offered without deserving it. That those human that will what makes possible a change of character and compatibility and a joyful understanding and willingness and by free will. Everything is a very vast a policy of free will. Adopt and live by the Creator's original values and plan. But again, the best evidence is from the first century that affirms all of those principles in the biblical writings, and that's the basis to have a belief, and it requires study and evaluation of the literature that was produced. And in addition, extra-biblical sources that affirm it.
Do I have time to respond, or
ask some more? Yeah.
Okay, so you're saying there's a lot of evidence for the resurrection. I'll look into that. That's stuff I could do outside of this. But while I have you guys here, you mentioned something. You also mentioned something you were talking that I want to ask you all about, is that you need Christianity to be a good person. I think Christianity kind of then acts like a crutch. It's like, I need this to be a good person. But I think I can go about doing good on my own volition. And also not having the excuse of, oh, God will pardon me. You know, you're saying, like, we all need a pardon. Sure, but I think that's dangerous to sort of rely on that. Like, God will forgive me later. Like, I can kind of do whatever I want. Or even if not, it'll be like, oh, God forgives me, so what I did, it's in the past. Like, no, I've done a lot of terrible things, and I dwell on that, and I think about how I can change. And I think that I can do good without Christianity, or without religion in general. That's kind of what I'm leaning towards, and that I don't need to use religion as a crutch. Yeah, I don't know. Is anybody else?
We have time for one or two responses.
Maybe people I haven't heard from. Any brave souls? Yeah.
Before you can decide that Christianity is the right religion, you have to decide, is there a God or not? And what is God like?
Seems like a good place to start, yeah.
So do you believe that there is something that exists? You do, right? That means that there has to have been always something that's there. There's just never a point where there was just nothing missing. From nothingness came this.
Sure, yeah, I think that's pretty improbable.
So, the thing that is eternal and is the responsible
party for the whatever else there is that exists. Was that an intelligent being, or was it not a being, not having any knowledge or understanding or anything? How could that have come about?
Yeah, I don't, but I see what you're saying. Sure, I can go for first addressing is there a God or not. I guess if I'm an agnostic, I might be leaning more towards deism, because I agree. I don't think the universe just popped out of literally nothingness. If I'm wrong, then I'm wrong, and that's a pretty lame way to start the universe. But if there was really a beginning and a God created it, I'm not saying I know that that God was what you guys call a personal God. Could just be some being that created the universe and is like, all right, do whatever you want. I'm going to go over here and create this second universe that's going to be way better and not have the Holocaust. I'm kidding. But I can start from God, yeah, but I still can. That doesn't mean there'll be a religion, that this God wants me to know him or it or she or whatever. I don't know. Yeah.
Let's say thank you to Tim for doing this.
Thank you, guys.
So we're going to go a couple minutes long, so I hope everybody's okay with that. I want to ask Tim first, and then you guys, how do you think we did compared to previous times?
Which Tim?
The real Tim.
The real Tim.
Yeah. Hi, guys. How did that go?
How was the quality of responses?
Honestly, I think you guys all know my background is acting, and I really like acting, and I had fun getting into this character. I went into this with a lot of weight of my past on my mind, especially like family tragedy and stuff like that. I think it was really effective when you guys asked me about that. Ask me personal questions, because like there's only so much me as agnostic Tim can come into this class and get. Like, I'm not gonna be converted. I'm not gonna get converted in this 1 hour, 1.5 hours we have. But I really appreciated it the few times when you guys asked me personal questions, like, hey, what? Tell me more about yourself. Tell me about how that person hurt you. Of course, agnostic Tim is looking for scientific answers, sure, but more than anything, like any human, he's also yearning for a relationship and yearning to show, for people to show that they care about him. And so I do think the most effective things to do are, even if you have a great answer that relies on historical evidence or scientific evidence, to maybe set that aside and say, hey, what's going on in your life? And I think he really, really appreciated that. Yeah.
Thank you. Well, how do you guys think you did compared to 2 months ago when we tried this for the first time?
Still a long ways to go.
Yeah.
Was it better?
Yes.
It was better.
Very convincing.
Yeah. I agree with both those. Personally, I think it was much better, and we have a long ways to go, including me. Including me, we all do. Doug?
It was really hard to do it in 2.5 minutes or something, you know, I mean, to establish a relationship before and all that, and yeah, I mean, I think it's revealing what he just said too, that like most agnostics probably aren't going to, even after an hour and a half, you know, just give up everything that they've assumed about the world, you know.
Yeah.
Then again, you got to stand up people that kind of don't want you in their world. Frustrated, just like anybody
guys feel like you're a little better equipped?
Yeah, I think this is profitable for sure.
Okay, good.
So long as we don't
when did, when did this start?
What's that, Al?
When did this start, this lesson? Saturday?
A couple of months ago. We've done it 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 times since then, on and off.
Okay. With the group today, we are improving, but I would say a lot of the arguments were too rational for me. If I were on the receiving end, I would forget most of what I heard, because it takes a lot of brain power and there's a lot of assumptions to connect this to, and a lot of assumptions are going on here.
Yes.
I would, if I had an intellectual question, something like the Holocaust, I would appreciate an answer at the best, but I would appreciate it more after that answer to get to me as the person
very
fast.
Good.
And as you get to know me as the person, then I can take bits and pieces of a lot of the rationale I heard. I still couldn't take all of the rationale I heard today. I could take bits and pieces, and pretty soon I would be hooked on those bits, and I would be coming back. And now I know I've got the other person if I've got them hooked and asking me questions. If I'm just rattling off rationale, I don't have them hooked.
Good. Thank you. All right, we need to wrap up. If you looked at the survey and the survey made you feel mildly uncomfortable and you just want to leave it on your seat, I understand. But you're the one we really need to hear from. Please, as a personal favor to me, take 2 minutes, read through them all, and just give us an indication of which one most closely resembles who you really are most of the time. Okay? It would be a big help to us.